Nice to have you with us on a Thursday morning. Carlton Richmond at the G tonight to kick it off. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people watching. We'll discuss it all tomorrow. We'll give you our final eights too tomorrow morning as we...
Ooh. What? You do it after the one game?
Yeah, well, that's what we do. It doesn't really affect the final eight, does it?
Are you still happy with yours?
Yeah, I stick by. I've still got
10 in mine. I can't get it down.
We'll wait till they play three or four games, maybe four rounds.
I know who can help you out with that, with your final eight. I'm sure he's done it in his head already on the plane across to the Warriors of Golden State in the NBA. Andrew Bogut's probably got his final eight all sorted. He's busy playing hoops at the moment with the Warriors back in the NBA, and he joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Andrew.
How's it going, fellas?
Going all right, buddy. Have you got your final eight sorted out yet?
My final eight?
Yeah, in the AFL?
Yeah. No, I haven't actually. I've had a whirlwind 4 or 5 days, to be quite honest with you. I don't even know where I am. But, looking forward to the season over, starting the AFL, that's for sure.
All right, just tell us about those 4 or 5 days, because I was keen to ask you about that. You expected to have a bit more downtime when you arrived back in the States getting ready for your stint with the Warriors, but Steve Kerr was on the blower. He sent you a text saying, big fella, we're going to need you. Can you hot-foot it to San Antonio?
Yeah, exactly right. So I was in Australia as of last Friday, went for my visa, got the visa on the Wednesday or the Thursday, flew out Friday, spoke to Steve, and now on the road in San Antonio Monday, Tuesday. So he said, look, don't meet us on the trip, you'll be too banged up from the flight. So I went house hunting on Saturday, found a place, signed a lease, was going to go buy all the baby stuff on Sunday and Monday and kind of just buy the knickknacks that you need. And Saturday night, they played in OKC and DeMarcus had rolled his ankle and a few other guys were banged up. And I get a text late at night, like, hey, can you come out and meet us in San Antonio? And I'm like, yeah. So the nice part of that was the owner organised a flight for me on the jet, and I was in San Antonio Sunday evening, and then had a meeting with Steve Monday morning before the game. Couldn't even go to shoot around because I had to go do all my heart testing and cardiac testing and physicals, but he had mentioned that, yeah, we're going to start you tonight. So that was really interesting, and yeah, the rest is history. Started the last two games and played limited minutes, but did okay considering the last 5 days.
Well, the life of an NBA player.
Oh, wow.
So if you look at it, Andrew, you come up San Antonio, LaMarcus Aldridge, then Minnesota, obviously, yesterday, Carl Anthony Towns, and now I think it's Indiana tomorrow against Miles Turner. So three of the best centers in the league. So you're going to find out for yourself where you are physically within the game pretty quickly.
Yeah, no doubt. And the league's obviously get more and more talented. The game sped up a whole lot, but felt considerably good against San Antonio. A little bit rougher yesterday against Minnesota, but we got the win. But hopefully, DeMarcus will be back in the lineup. I'll obviously go back onto the bench and play a more limited role. But we're in a great position. We're still first in the West, but just gonna continue on and hopefully lock up this first seed and then continue on to the finals. In a month's time.
What was the reaction when you walked back into the locker room for the first time to see all those familiar faces again?
I was great. Half the team's still here, half the coaches are still here, but they were, this is a kind of the dog days of the season in the NBA for most teams where you're just trying to stay healthy and get enough wins to solidify your playoff spot, so it can be a little tiring. So I guess to see a fresh face for them that they hadn't seen for a while kind of rejuvenated us a little bit, and obviously, good to catch up and tell old stories and old laughs. And then, sitting on the plane was probably the best part, and getting back on that poker table and get some easy money.
Hey, Andrew, we were talking about it yesterday when we were watching you play. It was almost like you've just walked into a TV and started playing in the NBA, having been in the NBL. I know you've played in the NBA before and you've played at the Golden State Warriors, but this is what kind of dreams are made out of, the way it's all happening. How are you finding it?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, who would have thought coming back to the NBL for a number of different reasons, but then to have an opportunity to come and play for one of the best teams in basketball at the moment is surreal. Thankfully, they haven't changed too much of what they do, so I could kind of pick up most of the offensive stuff and defensive stuff we're doing. Still a few new players have got to figure out, but the transition was surprisingly pretty seamless, and I got the knack of things pretty quickly. And Steve's Steve Kerr, the coach, had the confidence to chuck me right in there as well, which obviously makes you feel good as a player.
Do you have to pinch yourself a bit? As I said, I know you've played with these guys before, but this is the best league in the world. You're playing with absolute superstars again. You're playing Cairns and you're playing in Wollongong and all these sorts of places only sort of 3 or 4 months ago. It's crazy.
Yeah, look, it is. But look, I know I'm still at an NBA level, you know, skill-wise and physically. Probably not at a level to play 30-plus minutes anymore, but I know I can still compete at this level. You know, for 15, 20 minutes a night. Even though I came back to the NBL and had a relatively good year, I knew the NBA was still possible if I wanted it. It was just a number of circumstances at that point, which were mainly family orientated, prevented me from doing that. So, but look, it's all worked out. I'm still, you know, out there playing and giving my best, and obviously this will lead into the World Cup with Australia and the USA series in August in Melbourne. So the more games I can get under my belt against the best, the better.
Take us through the lob pass from Steph to get you going.
It always helps when you can get an easy chippy your first play. So, you know, that's a connection we've had for a number of years, and it was seamless. It was like it was yesterday. So he saw me there, and then just threw it up there. I put it in, and then obviously a couple of plays later got a nice little easy dunk as well from him. But, you know, Steph and Clay and KD and those guys, they just demand so much attention. The guys like myself, you know, that just float around and kind of find those little gaps we'll just get easy baskets from.
You must think it's pretty cool that and nice gesture of respect that they still trust you and they throw you the ball straight up. You know, you start the minutes and they might have not have expected this a month ago, but they're happy to get you back into the system straight up and get you involved. You must enjoy the fact that you have that respect with the group already.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. And they knew I was in shape. A lot of the guys were watching NBL games to make sure that I was doing okay. And it shows how good that league is for them to even take that punt. And yeah, look, they threw me right in the fire, and it wasn't anything else. So I was it kind of helps your ego a little bit when you got a coach and NBA players backing you coming from an absence of a year or two in the NBA.
We keep hearing and reading you're going to be so important down the stretch in the locker room for the Warriors. I imagine there's some different personalities in the locker room, but what does that mean? What do you do that's different to others in the locker room to keep the team together?
I think my sense of humour, my Aussie accent helps a little bit. You know, there's times where it does get dog days of the season, and you just throw out some one-liners or smack and make fun of each other. I think guys, you know, appreciate that and just being professional. I think whether I'm in there for a minute or two or 10 minutes, I think go in there and give it your all, and even if it's just a hard foul or a hard screen, I think guys see that. As long as we're coming off the court and being a good teammate, I think there's a trickle-on effect with that. So that's what I hope to bring, whether it's with minutes or without.
You talk about that sense of humour. Has Clay Thompson changed, or are you two still the practical jokers?
Clay's a practical joker, but by accident. Usually it's more of a laugh at Clay because he's just so himself. But yeah, no, we've got a pretty loose group. Like I said, you know, Steph's actually quite funny. Draymond, DeMarcus Cousins actually has been surprisingly funny as well. So there's a bunch of guys, and that's kind of that locker room atmosphere you have in sporting circles where you can, you know, you can kind of forget about whatever's going on in each other's lives because you're together so much and kind of have a laugh.
Do you take the mickey out of each other? I mean, we do that in Australia, and sporting clubs are notorious for it in Australian sport, to absolutely take the mickey, and that's how we sort of operate. Is it the same sort of banter over there, or is it different with the NBA stars?
A little bit. Look, for me, it is. I try to, you know, make fun of myself as much as I make fun of anybody else, but I guess when you first meet a guy like me, or even Aussies in general, people don't know how to take it sometimes, but once they know that it's from a good place and that you can take it as well, I think you're okay. But I try to have a laugh with it, and this locker room, you know, seems to enjoy that.
We obviously know when DeMarcus is back, he'll start and you'll back him up. How is the conversation with a player like Kevin Looney, who's playing a lot of he's been playing a lot of backup minutes now, and you'll probably take a few of those minutes from him? Was there any conversation with him? Was there any look from him to sort of go, you know, I'm back now, I'll take those minutes, son?
No, nothing of the sort. Look, there's going to be matchups in certain games. Looney does a great job of switching out on ball screens, which is a strength of mine. But there's games where they'll need a bigger physical presence, and there's games where you'll need a quick guy like Looney to switch out. So I think, like I said before I signed here, a lot of my minutes will be situational and dependent on matchups. And there's some teams that I'm vital for and match up really well against, and there's some teams that I don't, and that's just the reality of the NBA. And I think, you know, either one of us, when it comes to Looney, myself, even Jonas Cherepko, I think we understand the role we play, and when we get in there, we just got to make sure we're ready to play, and we know the scouting report, and we give our best effort.
You've had a couple of great moments in the last couple of games. Just being back out there is certainly one of them. But being back at home against the Pacers tomorrow, you had a great relationship with the fans. They loved you. You spent a lot of time with them. Is you looking forward to being back home?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I can't believe the reception I've got. Just right now, I'm just walking around, just got some lunch, and people are coming up to me, and a lot of, you know, young, old, you know, people in high school, just saying, welcome back. We're so glad to have you back. And obviously on social media as well. So that's real special, and it kind of touches your heart a little bit sentimentally. As you get older, you get a bit more sentimental on things, and that's pretty special to me. So I can't wait to get out there tomorrow and check into the game and get that ovation.
Well, you're pretty hard to miss walking down the street, in fairness, Bogey. But before we let you go, the baby stuff, who took care of that? Has that been taken care of?
Still working on it. They come out in about a week, so they're not here at the moment just because I have a house, so I didn't want to put two babies and a wife in a hotel. That wouldn't sit down too well. I've got the house box ticked to get the keys today, and I'll be off to a few baby stores in the next couple of days, I'd imagine, and buying all the crazy stuff you need to buy.
Very good. Like, while we've been talking to you on one of the TVs in our studio, we've just had the highlights of you playing in your most recent game, and it's so cool to be able to share it with you as you are. You've been really good to us over the last couple of weeks through this crazy time. But just that whole thing of the impact of the positive impact you're going to have on Australian basketball through this as well.
No doubt. And look, people, you know, talk about the NBA, but I did play in the NBL, and I had bad games there, and I had some struggles at times. So it shows that, you know, the quality of the league in Australia is great. So you know, I urge fans out there to support it. It's our local product, and they're doing good things as well. So to make this transition just shows that people can go from the NBL to the NBA and whatnot and still compete and play competitive basketball. So I think it's a great story, not just for the NBL, NBA, grassroots sports in Australia and all our fans that follow basketball.
Well, it's great to be able to watch you back in the big time. From our perspective, as Whitey said, you've been very good with us and your time through the last couple of months, and we think it's fantastic. We're enjoying the ride as much as you, hopefully, and good luck, mate. We appreciate your time again. Look forward to touching base soon.
No worries. Thanks for the time. See you later.